For it is written that thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, that the pathway of our feet might be illuminated, that our decision-making processes, our comportment, our orientation, our motivation might be shaped by the illumination that is in the Word of God, so that we can set our feet in stability and walk with the same illumination towards the accomplishment of destiny. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We ask that that entrance of the word of God might grant unto us light today for our feet and for our path. And may your great name be glorified. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You may be seated. We decided to dedicate every Monday of our contact meeting, in view of the fact that we have a growing youth population, to begin to attend intentionally to the need for relationship and marriage training. Hallelujah. And so we'll continue in this custom, because the current statistics concerning marriage in the Western world, the current statistics about marriage in Lagos, actually spells doom for the next generation. And any time there are incapacities, obvious incapacities, identified in the body of Christ, is largely traceable to issues of lack of capacity building. There are 12 pillars we will have to consider relationship and marriage about. 12 pillars. So look at one of the pillars today. Now, if by any means I had a board to make a lecture more effective for me, if I had a board, Amos chapter 3. Amos chapter 3. Hallelujah. Amos chapter 3. I welcome you in the name of the Lord Jesus. I was in the city of Lokoja over the weekend, because one of the senior ministers in the city had extended an invitation, and he was pleading so much. It's a very senior minister in that place. The dates that he suggested were obviously clashing with our own dates, but because of the kind of person that he was in the labors of the Lord in that land, I could not turn down the invitation. The Lord sent us so much help during the course of the weekend, and we give him glory. In Jesus' name. Amos chapter 3, verse 1. Hear this word. Is that King James Version? Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities. Then he raises a critical point, which is my emphasis. Can two walk together except they be agreed You know, when God decides to begin to communicate using questions, the omnipotent, the omniscient God decides to start asking questions, then there's a serious matter in view. Now, this thing is disturbing me. If they need it at the back, you can keep them at the back. I don't like hearing this sound. It's not the breeze, but the sound. Hallelujah. The sound. Sometimes I get distracted in the spirit by sound. Now, so can two work together except that they agreed? That's it. On the strength of the fact that God had adopted the nation of Israel to be his pet project, it will be the landscape where he will implement his philosophy as pertaining to his expectation from the world of men. He decided to isolate that nation, and his dealings with the nation was intended such that that nation will eventually become, will reveal the template of God's dealings in keeping with national transformation. Just in case another nation wants to come into, likes what is happening to Israel, and it wants to come into the same covenant, the template that Israel, God has succeeded in actualizing by implementing his principles and his policies with the nation of Israel will now become a template that any nation can adopt and see God walk with them the same way he has walked with Israel. So in order for God to have that example in the earth, he decided to adopt the nation of Israel. Hallelujah. Now, the fact that God adopted the nation of Israel was not enough, as you can see. The guys enjoyed preferential treatment. The bounties of the grace of God was lavished upon them. They were recipients of the message of God. God had to humble kings and tyrants and rulers of nations just because he wanted to fructify his covenant that he had with his people. Wonderful. Wonderful. God decided to prioritize them. He exalted them above all nations. In his love and in his compassion, his great might was manifested to their defense. But unfortunately, they were not satisfied with just God. As they moved from city to city, they tried to test the gods of the landscape. Hallelujah. Hey. They had an insatiable appetite for wisdom. They were not satisfied with the commandments and the dictates of God, and they crept in the night in search of high places where they could divine by strange spirits. And God was angry with them. And God threatened to punish them. And then God himself now asked a question. And that question was supposed to be a loaded question. A loaded question. Full of matter. The question that God decided to ask. Amen. I say glory to God. So much favor was bestowed upon them. And that's how you and me are. You did not bring anything to the table. Jesus himself, through the operating system of the love of God, decided to agreed to come expend all that he was in order to satisfy the claims of divine justice and create a place for us in the commonwealth of the bounties of heaven. He did not spare any of the compliments and privileges that he had. He did not consider his equality with God anything to hold on to. And he decided to adopt and to accept another structure. The Greek puts it this way, morphe. He had an ecclesiastical countenance. And he decided to keep that away and to take upon himself another structure, the form of a man. That was a demeaning status. So demeaning. But even when he decided to come in the form of a man, he died the death of the least of men like a common criminal. And that was to showcase the tangibility of his love, hoping that that will secure a reciprocate position from our own angle. Hallelujah. Hoping that that will be the basis upon which he will capture our love and affection for him all the days of our lives. But you know, once and again, all of that is not sufficient for us. We meander and we join ourselves with strange things that are inconsistent with the covenant that we have with God. And such was Israel. Before you become too hard with Israel, it's needful for you to understand also that we have done probably much more than what Israel has done in the areas of rebellion, areas of consistency, non-accountability to a God that gave us everything in order for us to have a part with him in the kingdom of his Father. So we're not too different from what Israel was. However, the grief that God had made him ask a question. The purpose of this lecture this evening is to look into all the dimensions of this loaded question. Because every dimension of this loaded question is a particular, is a very important aspect that we must consider when we are talking about relationship and covenant. Now, these guys were in covenant with God. Are you with me? And they were in covenant with God because God cut covenant with their ancestors. And their ancestors agreed that their descendants would be the people of God. So God had a right by covenant to become their government. Hallelujah. And in our own case, in the New Testament, Jesus Christ paid for us, paid our bride price by the blood of his cross. It was the blood of Jesus that was a bride price that was paid for your redemption. Now the indication of that is, the implication of that is, you are God's property. Hallelujah. Just he paid. However, even though you are God's property, God wants you to give yourself to him by an act of your will. That's where it is difficult, because God is not a tyrant. God is not like Pharaoh, a taskmaster. He will want you to give yourself to him as much as you have received insight and revelation that he is worthy. Hallelujah. And so these guys were in covenant with God. But yet they were in rebellion. And God had to threaten them with punishment. In Christ Jesus, we're in covenant with God. Are you with me? Now, a man that has not yet understood how to keep covenant with God will find it difficult to keep covenant with man. How we are upon the face of the earth is a reflection of the quality of our relationship with God. So if we know how to evaluate a man's relationship with God, then we will have a very good idea of how such a man will relate with man. I have so many scriptures to bring to establish this, my point. So many scriptures. I think the best of them is in the book of Matthew. But I've not had need to move to that scripture as of yet. Now, see, what we are running is the economy of the threefold cord. You know, the Bible says, two is better than one. And a threefold cord cannot be easily broken. Now, that's the economy we are trying to run. The economy of the threefold cord is that, first of all, I found the Lord. I began to walk with the Lord. I began to learn from the Lord. And I began to subscribe to the laws of God, having realized that the laws of God derive from the nature of God. So as I subscribe to God, I discover that I begin to operate the nature of God. I operate like God. It is when you begin to operate like God, because in a relationship, in marriage, what you do is that you represent God in the life of a man. You represent God in the life of a woman. And the areas of inconsistencies that you have had with God in your covenant with God, you are still going to have the same area, the same kind of inconsistencies when you have a covenant with a man. Marriage happens to be a blood covenant. So at some point, the relationship will evolve into a covenant. And I'll tell you the difference between that transition. My God, does it take forever for us to get this? No. You see, God doesn't rule by moving around. What he does is he sits down. Then he gives an instruction. That's how it works. If not, you'll just die. One day, you just see yourself, you just fall down. The field is white. It's heavy. So you must know how to operate. Hallelujah. Okay. Now, so those areas of inconsistency that you have in your relationship with the invincible one, you are likely to have the same kinds of inconsistencies when you are relating with a mother. Because covenant is uncompromising. And a blood covenant, which marriage is a covenant that you cannot decide against. It is superior to your will. If you have entered that covenant, your power of choice is deleted. It doesn't have any authority with respect to it. Now, it's a terrain that is a bit deeper than what the average young man, young woman is prepared for. Marriage can be a risk, a great risk. If the one that you have decided to bind yourself in covenant with does not have any covenant with the God of heaven. Because, you see, in the layout of the threefold cord, now this is how it works. This is the man. He has a covenant with God through redemption. Is a woman. She has a covenant with God through redemption. And before they met each other, they had already known God. And God has been working in their lives. Hallelujah. And the covenant that we have with God is a blood covenant. It was Jesus that brought the blood down. And the covenant that you have in marriage is a blood covenant. The day the man was circumcised, he contributed his quota. And on the wedding night, the lady will contribute her quota. So it's a blood covenant. And that is why it exists as long as you draw life. See, blood is stronger than your will. You may not know. But we are going to advance today. As we advance, we trust God to give us understanding as we tread the path. So these two guys knew God before they met themselves. The only regulation that they have in this particular arrangement, the regulation is God. It's only God that can regulate them. Now, so if you have two people that are in covenant relationship without a regulator, have you ever seen an electric iron that doesn't have a thermostat? Have you had one like that at home where the thermostat, the regulator of temperature, now had problem? How many of you have had that kind of? Then you need extra wisdom to use that iron, because the iron has its own wheel. It's like driving a car without brakes. I know a man whose car is the only one that can drive it, because he's the only one that knows how to use the gear. The gear packed up many years ago, but the man has gone cashless.
He's operating a cashless policy. He has already moved on. He is operating a cashless policy. So in view of his cashless policy, he found how to use a gear that has packed up for many years. Hallelujah. And one day somebody wanted to borrow his car, and he willingly gave the car without briefing the person about the dynamics of the gear. Guess what happened? Okay, you already know the end of the story. And that's what happens when two people come together and they say they love each other and they marry. And there's no regulator, no thermostat. They are going to crash. You might ask me and say, Pastor. Okay, what of unbelievers that marry? Do they not live in peace? I know you want to ask that question. What they are practicing? Okay. Alright, let's come again. Let's do definition of terms. Maybe it will help you understand that most of those people are cohabiting. They are not in marriage. Even though they went to the village, paid bride price, and did some ceremony, people came, the elders, the oya of the village, stood up and made some steak, poured palm wine on the ground, and released the people by the strength, the spirit of wine. You see this thing, this blood covenant. Are you with me? You are not. Stay with me. Whether you are an unbeliever or a believer, marriage is a blood covenant. That is irrespective of your faith disposition. Marriage is what? It is a blood covenant. And a blood covenant is a spiritual thing. Many times there are several herbalists and charms that cannot be done except a virgin is fetched. One who has not yet given up her own side of the blood covenant becomes a very potent additive in the concoction of several covenants in darkness that are binding on the souls of men. And so so whether you like it or not, marriage, whether between unbelievers or between a believer and an unbeliever or between anything called marriage, because marriage was not man's idea. It was God that instituted it. Hallelujah. It has only one meaning. The meaning of marriage is covenant. Because you came into covenant with that woman, whether it is in the village that you did it, the implication is that by reason of the fact that you are into blood covenant with this woman, these are the implications. One, from the wedding night, you are in a soul tie with that woman. And I will explain what a soul tie is. It is because it is a covenant that this is the outcome. Now, in a case where one of the parties or two of the parties are unbelievers, there is a possibility for them to violate the terms and conditions of this covenant. This is a covenant of exclusivity. Now that I'm married, no woman, I'm still trying to explain this scripture, can two walk together except they be what? That's where I am. Now that I'm married, no woman should see my nakedness. See my nakedness, not sexual intercourse yet. No woman is permitted to. Because only one woman has access, has right to my body. Now, concerning that woman, I cannot claim to have a body outside of her. Are you with me? That means even me myself, I don't have the authority to deny that woman my body. And that became so because of covenant. One of the things you require, you understand in covenant, is that you are relieved of property rights. And the first in line among these properties is your body. Now, so this guy that is not born again doesn't subscribe to that your philosophy. So he goes out and joins himself with a harlot. Do you know the implication of that? Oh, okay, you are giving it a name, that doctrine. The implication of that is that this man, because the scriptures teaches that if, are you not aware that if you join yourself with a harlot, you become one flesh with that harlot. It means there is a ceremony of marriage and there is also an act of marriage. There is what? A ceremony of marriage. There is an act of marriage. Now, sexually intercourse is what we call the act of marriage. This man has committed an act of marriage with a harlot. The implication is that he has a soul tie with that harlot. This is the implication on the woman that was at home. She did not go out to commit adultery. She was just at home. She was faithful to the marriage. But she is a victim of the husband's escapades. The implication is that that harlot, you don't like my teaching. Maybe we need more prayer to push it further. Of all the 12 pillars that I'm to bring to your notice, agreement is the most complex. What you call compatibility in English language is not in the Bible. You know, some of you modern day psychologists, pastor psychologists, like Reverend Hughes, he's a master psychologist and he's a pastor. So he can borrow psychology terms and use words like compatibility. When he wants to write a relationship book, it's not in the Bible. And I will tell you what happens when we are not technically right. When you don't use biblical terminology, it is likely for you to water down a subject. It doesn't carry its original, concentrated, native orientation. And so the essence may not be fully understood in a generation where there are changes in. Like, there's nothing like mentorship in the Bible. Meanwhile, there's mentorship in the world. There's mentorship in secular life. Are you with me? What we run in the kingdom is not mentorship. Oh, you don't know that. That fake terminology is, those fake terminologies are just, they are tricks from the enemy to water down cultures and customs that should exist among the people of God. You know, when Jethro gave Moses counsel, he told him that, see, you, obviously you have been trained by your God. And in issues of justice, judgment, and equity, you are an authority to reckon with. But I just want to chip in a recommendation as to the style of delivery so that you are not wearied. So the principle that Jethro suggested to Moses was the principle of division of labor. Alright? You break down the stuff. Let some guys attend to lesser matters, and then you have various groups. If the things are intense, you send it to the higher group, and then you keep sending it like that. Let only important matters come to thee. That's the division of labor. But God did not accept the recommendation of Jethro, because God's approach is not division of labor. After Jethro, and meanwhile, humanly speaking, what Jethro said was very, very workable, very, very wise. But you cannot use that human wisdom to build the kingdom of God. In final analysis, when God wanted to address the issue that Jethro saw that made him provide a recommendation, what God did was that he asked the elders, asked the tribes to choose worthy men among the people. And these worthy men will come to Moses in a designated place. And then God himself will take out of the spirit of Moses and put on those people. So that when those guys are executing judgment, it is the same spirit with which Moses is executing judgment that they are executing judgment in. So it is one spirit, but many people. That's what we call sonship. Alright? So the purpose of discipleship is so that we can mature into sonship. There is nothing like mentorship. Mentorship is showing you this way I'm doing something. So that you can adopt my formula. It's just like what the evil people do. This is, I'm into spare parts business. Then I take somebody with me. Then he now learns how we do the business from the importation side to the fragmentation side, breaking the engines that we import into their various components, and then the costing analysis, the pricing template with respect to inflation and forex, and all of those details, nitty gritty, that are associated with that kind of business. He sees it over and over. So he comes to a point where if he sees the current dollar rate in the parallel market, he can actually draw from that as a reference and know what the price changes will look like in the shop, because he was mentored. It's in issues of a trade that we talk about mentorship, issues of a practice that we talk about mentorship. But when we are talking about the kingdom, we are talking about the transfer of spirit. A man comes to a point where he becomes worthy to inherit your spirit.
I know you don't like me anymore. Because people that we respect use that word. They use it for church stuff.
The more we become blind, the more we begin to import worldly principles into our teachings. It means we don't have fresh revelation from God. We just want to talk. There's nothing like compatibility. The word you use is agreement, and if my understanding is correct, it has like 5 different meanings according to scripture. Agreement. Now, so this man went and joined his body to a harlot. The implication is that he also has a soul tie with that harlot. Now, what's a soul tie? A soul tie is like a pathway. It's a spiritual pathway. Alright? Come. Reverend Hughes, come. Reverend Uropo, come. Now, see how we're going to do it now. Okay, you link up there, since I don't have one this hand to give. Now, so this is, there's a link. And because there is such a link, there can be transfer. Imagine that I am the harlot. And, you know, harlots have demons. Okay? Now, so, because, and this is the wife. This wife is now a victim. You see, people that are in a soul tie, they are in a vicious circle of connection, where spiritual things can be transferred. It's a traffic, it's a highway. Now, so demons, this woman can begin to suffer from demonic oppression, demonic activity, and the man himself is free. So they get to this woman because of this man's non-compliance to what? The covenant, the blood covenant. So there are a host of demons that can now oppress this woman because he has created the highway and he has created the link through the soul tie. You can see that. Now, so those guys are actually cohabiting. They are not in covenant. And numerous highways have been created and gradients have been created for demons to traffic just because maybe one of the parties. Now, if you are in marriage and the other partner is not faithful to the marriage, hallelujah, you don't like my talk. You have invoked, there is a calling you have invoked. You must become an intercessor. Now the reason for that is that man's escapade is going to affect the entire family. You see, spiritual things can be inherited. Are you aware of that? Now, so this thing he's doing is bringing a traffic of demons into the family line. And if you understand the implication, you, the wife that is faithful, needs to swing into priestly action quickly. Now, when you swing into priestly action quickly, because there are different kinds of spirits. Now, the kind of spirits that are... I don't know whether... Maybe I will show you from scripture. If not, you will not believe.
Revelation.
We are still trying to... This is where we are. Two cannot work together except... Okay. Revelation. Think chapter 12. Hey, Jesus. This place I want to go now is a place I did not plan to go today. Okay. Can we do quickly Revelation chapter 12, verse 9 and verse 12? Now, there are different kinds of spirits, and we need to identify them. If you have followed my teaching critically, you will find out that one of the ways by which spirits are identified is the territory that they are domiciled. In fact, one of the ways by which we can identify them is the territories that they are domiciled. You will hear things in scripture like the prince of the region of Persia. You will hear things like the prince of Grecia. So they are identified by location, where they operate from. Now, are you there in verse 9? And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Verse 12 gives us a modification of this. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accuseth them. Is that 12? Jump to 12. 12, not 10. You want me to preach another sermon right now? Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth and the sea. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth and what? They see, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he has but a short time. Now, you see, when they were cast out from heaven, the devil and his demons and his minions and his infantry, there were two notable locations where they decided to make their domain. Some were on the earth, and somewhere in the sea. Good. That's number one. Then, if we progress in this our lecture, you will come to realize that there are several spirits that are modified. Are you following? They are what? They are modified to attack marriages. That's what they do. That's their assignment. And if you check and investigate further, marital issues and all of that, you will find out, in my own experience in the deliverance ministry, the demons that are from the sea are the ones that are opposed to the marriage institution. And take that person, clean the person up, and then marry the person to somebody else. That erosion in the person's soul is going to affect the marriage. Except the person comes and allows God to bring ventilation to that soul. That's why worship is very key. Worship is one of the ways by which the healing of the spirit invades that soul and begins to reconstruct it. And you need to go through that healing process before you can. We are still talking about agreement. The devil knows that if you are going to marry, there will be a need for agreement. So he begins to create erosion in the soul long before you even think of aligning with somebody. He creates demonic traffic through soul ties. And there are so many people in the band. But the day you came to the altar to be joined, you came with a damsel. But unknown to you, the traffic is heavy. And that's why ladies and guys that are close to me, that have opened up their path to me, I take them through some form of deliverance. Because somebody says, I don't have time for that today. I don't have believers and demons. I don't have time for that today. I need a whole weekend to show you how far a demon can go in the life of the believer if it's allowed. And how many years it can stay. And when the person dies, what happens to the demon? I don't have time today. We'll look at that subsequently. Hallelujah. That's all. There's a traffic. I take them through a deliverance. First of all, I ask them to write down the names of everybody they have slept with. It looks as if pastor wants to know. Then you will ask for repentance and call everybody's name so that you can break the traffic. It's only when you have done that some things will leave you. And you will do it deliberately, because the act was deliberate. The deliverance will be what? Deliberate. And all of these things are traffics that the devil puts in place to ensure that agreement is impossible. I've seen people before that marry. Very fine guy, very fine lady, and then there's fight, there's trouble every day. And when you sit them down to ask them, okay, let's trace this thing, it's not logical. But they will never know that it's not logical. And then you see that there are baggages that were not identified, that were not dealt with. And most times, people are not open enough to the people that play the role of spiritual oversight over their lives. They are not open enough. And I will not blame people for that. Some attempted opening up to some people, and the people were not matured enough to handle. They didn't even know what to do with the information. And I speak to you as an open book. I've had experiences in my own marriage too. And I normally try to mentalize my experiences. I try to understand them if it's possible. Alright? I try to see how frequent those things happen. I document it. It's true. It's happening like that. It happened again. And I will now deduce that. So, from this time to this time, it's impossible for me and my wife not to disagree. So, this length of time, we must disagree. This length of time. You don't study. Me, I study a lot because I'm supposed to come and teach you with my own experience. So, I do a lot of analysis. Then I try to find out, where is this thing coming from? Then I pop up and try to find in my own father's and mother's relationship for 35 years that I saw them married, they never quarreled once. So I know that this one is not from. I did not inherit this. This is baggage. Hallelujah. Now, before I gave my life, before I married, I didn't know a woman. My wife didn't know a man. Okay? But I will open some chambers to you if you are willing. No. You are not. Yakoba Kurima Sila Kode Monsanto Abama Yakob. There is a reason why Jesus said if a man looks at a woman lustfully, he commits immorality with that woman in the heart. There's a reason. There is an opening that comes, and it will be easier for you to yield to lust. You know that thing they call pornography, it did not start a day, it did not start in one day. You went there, you loved righteousness, but you did not hate iniquity. You had a soft spot for it
And it will take advantage of every crack that you have made available. And if you have any other affection other than your wife, what you are doing is creating a space that a demon will use to exploit the possibility of agreement. That's why I will always tell you, the fact that you are 32 years doesn't mean you should look for a wife. Some of you are 32 years, but you don't have the capacity to say, I am wrong. It means you will be a problem to a woman.
Especially those of us that have advanced in learning. You have a knowledge that so many people don't have. Then on the strength of that knowledge, you begin to feel that you are special. Anything that you have acquired, maybe by the anointing, by learning, by position in the office, is going to be a disadvantage to your relationship with your wife. If you don't know how to remove that crown, put it down, and then relate with a human being that has infirmity. When you notice that you are beginning to like something, maybe you see another lady and you like, the alignment of this lady. You know what? Just go back to your wife. Tell your wife that, see, I saw one lady. She was so fine. I checked the eye. It was cat eye. You know why? You have to do that. Accountability is the basic key to deliverance. If you are that man that says, I can handle it, you have fallen in your heart many times. As you begin to grow higher in the anointing and in the grace of God, every attempt that you make at departure, demons will take advantage of you. And when demons are in the matter, it will be difficult to find agreement. The reason why the children of Israel had issues with God was because they were demons. You see, idolatry is addictive. If you see someone that has ever consulted an oracle before, the person is likely in old age to end up there. And it's not a curse, I'm just saying, it's what likely. Because it's more addictive than cigarette. Now, so the children of Israel made a mistake. And the mistake they made was that they opened themselves up to idolatry. So even though God was good, the lust for idolatry was very strong. There was a soul tie. It was that soul tie that was always drawing them back to the high places to worship the stars of heaven. It was not that God was not good enough. But you see, a soul tie can be very powerful. And it creates a traffic for demons to come and begin to suggest it. It creates a traffic for demons to come and begin to oppress. It creates a traffic for demons to come and begin to manipulate your decision-making processes. And the more you go on this path, the more you begin to lose affection for your wife. One day you will come back and look at your wife, you will call her a man. I don't feel it. Me and you will lie down. I won't feel it. It is you have strayed far from the line of covenant men. Can we say continue this lecture? Because people's faces are changing. If we were all white men, you know, when a white man is crying, the place is like it's red. It's because we are black that we are hiding this. My aunt told Sama left him at home. Somebody called me and said, for the past 6 months, when he lies on the same bed with his wife, it's as if he's lying with a man. But he doesn't know that he has wandered. They are so tired. And they are dragging him from every side. That's actually a sign that you're under demonic attack. But he doesn't know. Agreement is very hard to find among mortal men. The only possibility of attaining agreement is when you have a regulator, a buffer. And that's why what we are trying to run is the economy of what? Of a threefold cord. The Bible says it cannot be easily broken. We are going to pray some terrible prayers this evening. Alright?
Very terrible. See, if you are not comfortable where you are sitting, you move out. Make it personal. Because you call the names of all those ladies you disparaging. I'm not saying it to spite you. I'm your friend. Believe me. And I'm trying to... My vision is that we'll have thousands of marriages that are problem-free. I think they say that in the Thief Kingdom, that one woman gave half of her body to Satan so that marriages in Thief Land will not work. If you follow what I'm teaching you, even if the woman was in the moon that she gave her body, we violate the expectation of that covenant. Glory, hallelujah. Alright, so let's press forward. Now, so the issue, what was responsible for the unfaithfulness of the children of Israel was an addiction that has built and a lust, which was a function of a soul tie. And so God was coming to punish them. You see, when someone is having an ailment that is linked to his soul, the way God deals with the person is, he allows the person face so much trouble so that his appetite for that lust will dry up. Have you seen a man, when a man is heavily struck by disappointment, he will not remember to fornicate? There are several sorrows that will lock up your appetite. Have you seen a mourning, somebody that is mourning, terribly mourning, looking for themselves? Okay, you're not with me. Now, those criminals that they put on the cross with Jesus, you know, they gave them cross to carry. Can you imagine that any of the criminals can carry cross and be moving? Then he now sees the damsel and says, see this one, Beleo.
you're not with me.
See, your ability to lust will dry up. The luxury of desire is not something you can afford when you are staring death in the face. So what God does is that he exposes you to trauma, terrible trauma, that will make that appetite die. And just in case you are praying for someone that has already sustained a soul tie, it's very easy prayer. Ask for trouble. You have been praying for the person to be delivered. No. Your prayer point is wrong. Ask for what? For trouble. To come like rain. The person will run home himself. Your prayer point is wrong. He will come back himself and buy a newspaper and pretend as if he is ready. He may not say sorry, but his lifestyle will change. Not because he's born again, but trouble visited him and licked up the appetite. Now, so God was threatening them with punishment. And then he now brought that parable. Can two walk together except they be agreed? So the subject we are considering today is agreement in relationship and marriage. I pray that I will have the courage to say what I need to say on this subject. I pray for the courage to do that. Hallelujah. And not look at your face, because I need courage here. Glory to God. So we are going to take the text for the night because of the praying that we need to do. I will not hold you down for too long with my lecture. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 is my text. Relationship is deeper than just loving a woman because she is wearing purple. The alignment of the waist is very wonderful. And the toenails and fingernails are... Hallelujah.
much deeper than that. Seeing a guy like that, he married one of the most beautiful Nigerians that I've ever seen. Her, if the way her eye is, Jesus. But from the day they married, I think 3 days after they married, that's how they started slapping themselves. And then the friend of the guy was saying, how will you marry a fine woman like this and you can have courage to? No, it's not logical, because demons. Oh my. Mayanto Samahindo Kabayato. Demons are what? They involve. There are times you can, if you lust for a woman for long, even without intercourse, you have so tied with the woman. The devil can begin to bring the picture of that woman to you. And if that is your experience, and it is pari passu, it happens to men too. It happens ladies too. If you have lusted for a guy for long, your soul can be twisted with it. Right? And then the devil will be bringing that picture to you at strategic moments. And every time he brings the picture to you, it's a suggestion. So if you are weak to it, it will be entering your soul deeper and deeper and deeper. That's why Jesus, see, the scripture says we should do what? We should love righteousness and hate. Because if you are going to be free from that, you will look face to face to the image that comes to you, and you will reject it. As many times that it is brought up, you fight it. As many times, this fight, I'm telling you, you will fight for 9 months. You were in the womb, your gestation period that your mother used to give birth to is 9 months. There's no true spiritual cycle that doesn't pass through 9 months. The picture will be coming, you'll be rejecting it. And after 9 months, the court of heaven will vindicate you. Soul ties are terrible. As long as that love is in your heart, your love for your wife is going to diminish, even if she is a Caucasian. The Lord will help us in the name of Jesus. And I pray for all my young pastors. Fine men, may you not. Alright. Now, so we are using this as our key word, okay? According to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 6, as we are going to see shortly in our teaching, you will see the application of that word from different levels, different planes. And as we gain ascendancy using that word, you are going to begin to see its applications in higher and stronger context. It's this application that we are going to draw out, and then we are going to understand them individually. And then at the end of the day, I will ask you again, can two work together? Except maybe agree. Now give me a microphone. At least I have some few young couples, myself inclusive. People that have been married for more than 10 years, they have become elders, so we will not consult them. Hallelujah. But those of us that have not reached 10 yet. Amen. So, is there a microphone? Is there a microphone? Alright. In order to justify my teaching, give Joe a keke. Now, how many, for how long have you been in marriage? Give us your credentials and the authority that you have by them to speak on this matter.
Praise the Lord. Mm. Been married since 2007.
So you are how many years now?
10 years.
You have 10 years?
Yes,
you like this?
Yes.
Okay, how many children have come through within this period?
I have 3 children.
3 children have come through. Alex, can you salute him with a clap of hands? Now, okay, let's consult the wife. Where's your wife? She escaped. She was all right. Now, because this is what we, no. Don't hand the mic away. You know, give him back first. The reason why I'm consulting the wife is we want to do straight talk. That is the talk, the real talk, not the type politicians. Those words politicians speak cannot change anything. But this one I want to say now can change. So you are going, when we ask you, say the truth, there will be no problem. And you too, say the truth, there will be no challenge. And I'm the one that said there can be no problem. Alright. Have you ever had the experience? Because I have had experience. When in your marriage you just discover that you are not attracted to your wife.
Yeah, sure.
Now, no, calm down. See them. You dey laugh. And you have had 10 years of 10 years of experience. How many times have you had such symptoms? Just although you are not telling her that you are not, but you know it inside that nothing's happening.
I think more than 3 times.
More than 3 times. Yeah. All right. Is there any particular event that is traced to that matter? Can you trace it to any event, or you don't know how it happened?
Yeah, sometimes maybe when we had disagreements.
Yeah, disagreements.
Yeah.
Okay. Give her. Now, see, you must understand, no matter how wise you are as a man, you don't know the life of a woman. And if you are, listen to me, no matter how wise you are as what? As a man, you don't know the life of a woman. I thought I was very wise, you know, very exposed, I've read books, read stuff. For instance, you will not know what it means for a woman to carry a baby for 9 months. And if you have not had the experience before, you don't know what it means. And if she is behaving in a certain way, you don't know what has motivated it. There are many things you don't know. Okay, let's see from the woman's side. Have you ever been in a situation where you didn't feel attracted to your husband? Yes. But you will not say, I know you, we are not sincere, so we don't normally say things. But you did not say it, but that was the case.
Yes.
Was it frequent? Or can you count the times? Like, you have done like 10 years in marriage.
I think I can remember up to 6 times.
About 6 times.
Happened, yes.
All right. Can you trace it to any particular? Was it misunderstanding that led to that?
The first one, it was pregnancy that led.
Okay, pregnancy. You see, that's why you see there's an issue here. You may know a woman when she's not pregnant, and when she becomes pregnant, she's a strange personality. Then you need to begin to learn afresh. And if you are not diligent to learn the first time, when the first pregnancy comes on board, and if you are not documenting your discoveries, it means you are likely to make a mistake. So during pregnancy, you notice there's a change of mood.
Yes.
So how did you combat this discovery?
Anytime he comes closer, I don't feel.
You drive him away.
I drive him away.
Now, did you ever consider that if you drive him away, he might notice that the lady in the neighbor's house that works in the kitchen, the sheep.
Yes, then we have a
have
very
big. Have you realized? You know, most women, no, wait. Don't laugh. See them laughing. If you are single and you are laughing, you are in my prayers. Let me tell you something. Most times, church women don't know what we pass through. Church women. You believe you can just come and just talk to your husband anyhow, and you don't know that the devil has been hunting him for long. You don't know that you will labor. It is easier for you to pray for your husband when he is not a bad man yet. If he has become bad, the prayer required to make him what you did not like initially, that is the one that was offending you before, that prayer, some people don't pray it through in their lifetime. So beyond the way you feel, there's an obligation that you have because of agreement. So pregnancy makes her not to be attracted to the husband. If the husband is coming, she's driving. But you don't understand that there's a possibility for him to, the day you're not driving now, he had justified what has been coming like suggestion. You're not with me. It's a battle. The reason why God put a curse, he said, whatsoever God has joined together, let no man put asunder. He put that curse there. The reason he put it is because everything will work against the union of a man and a woman. Everything will work against. Even with that curse that he puts there, the curse is not so much of a threat to many intruders. And we must also know that these people are flesh and bone. As much as they are recreated in Christ Jesus, they are not yet in their celestial body. They are pilgrims upon the face of the earth. They have capacity to lust, to be tired, and to backslide. May the Lord give you understanding. Now, so there's a price to pay to keep the temperature of agreement, which is the bedrock upon which every true relationship that is covenant based can thrive. Yes.
Then we have mature ladies, very fair.
There were very fair ladies in the compound.
In the compound, very beautiful ladies. One of them.
Now, the fact that. No, listen. You are not. The fact that you have a challenge in your home doesn't mean that God will kill all the fine ladies in town. The beautiful ladies will still be flowing. In fact, they will be called beautiful. When the sun shines, it's not sweat you will see again. You will see something. It's glowing. So there were many beautiful ladies. When she was now saying, you are not understanding, I'm pregnant, there's weight, there's body, don't come close. She was doing that one. Meanwhile, in the environment, some glowing things were there like this. Yes, go on.
So we engaged into talking one day. One of them told me that I love my husband's leg. Then
I told Abala Shelly, come by in the matter. Melaso kila kaila kumbe asaye mako. The reason why you will not see me wearing short knicker, even though the leg, the alignment of the leg. Rama saya koma salima.
So it now dawned on me that some people are admiring him side by side.
You will not know that man you are despising. Drive, he said. Somebody is praying for you to die. To create vacancy, to create space. And all of these little troubles is just to fight against agreement, because two cannot work together except there be agreement.
So when the lady mentioned that I have no option that to adjust to endure the whole thing. Yeah. Whether I like it or not, I have no assurance.
You go beyond your emotions, so that go beyond your decision, and then you strike a balance. That's what maturity does. Your temperament, if you really delve into marriage the way you are supposed to delve into it, it will fracture your temperament. Your temperament will change. And even areas where it was difficult for the Holy Ghost to change, marriage will change it faster. The Holy Spirit will have an opportunity through marriage to change it faster than when you were single. Because your temperament is going to change. Maybe when you were single, you were a hard guy. And that your hardness was a blessing to you. But that hardness in marriage is a weakness. Let's go on. Thank you for that. Now we'll still come back to... But let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. The devil has a lot of plots that we need to be aware of. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Hallelujah. Now let's take this step by step. We'll take it shot by shot. 2 Corinthians 6 verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? Underline fellowship. And what communion has light with darkness? Underlying communion. And what concord has Christ with Belial? Underlying concord. And what part has the believer with an infidel? Underlying part. Then my word is used last. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? Now all these words is the same word, but as we progress in the scripture, it is emphasized with greater intensity. Meanwhile, two cannot walk together except they be agreed. Have we accepted that one? So we are going to take the first word. All of these words are, first of all, they say unequally yoked. What disagreement does is that it makes you unequally yoked in marriage. There is no blend anymore. Okay? Makes you unequal. When there is harmony, it means the yoking is not a challenge. When there is no harmony, it means there is a problem with the yoke philosophy. Okay? Even though this scripture used being unequally yoked with an unbeliever, it means that there is no technology of adjustment that you can bring upon the yoke that can harmonize a believer and an unbeliever. But I am saying that you can be married to a believer and several circumstances and situations will arise, just like Israel was married with God, married to God by covenant. But there was an unequal yoking. There was no harmony. There was no concord. There was no agreement. And God wanted to invoke punishment upon the children of Israel. Not because they were demons, but at the time of disagreement, the nature of the yoke is unequal. Because there are differences in passion, differences in purpose, differences in emphasis. And so the yoke, instead of binding together and adding your collective strength in destiny to plow the field of destiny, such that in the place where one could chase 1,000, two can now chase 10,000. That is supposed to be the implication of yoking. But yoking can become disastrous when there is a shift in alignment in the yoke process and the technology. can become the reason why one of the items that is yoked to the yoke of oxen will die. You know, if you put a wrong partner into the yoke, and one of them has more strength than the other, as they begin to plow, you will think that they are cooperating. You will not know that the plowing is taking place at the expense of the life of the other. And before you know, and before it's too long, one of the parties will die. Now, I'd like us to investigate those words, because all those words are, they speak about agreement in one way or the other, but in different contexts. And in order for two to work together, they must be in fellowship, they must be in communion, they must be part of each other, they must be in concord, and they must be in agreement. So let's start with the first word, fellowship. The Greek word for fellowship in this scripture, there are about six Greek words for fellowship. But the one in this scripture is METOKHAY. METOKHAY. Now, METOKHAY means participation. Participation. Now, in order for you to METOKHAY effectively, you must know your strength and your weakness. You must also know the strength of your partner and the weakness of your partner. METOKHAY. It doesn't matter how intelligent you are. The more intelligent you are, the more your weaknesses. It doesn't matter how focused you are. The more focused you are, the more blind you become. Because if you are focused on one object, you become so blind. It means you put a lot of things away in order for you to gather your entire strength and apply it to one cause. METOKHAY. Now, so, you see, in participation, we are bringing another person to take care of the aspects that you have decided to neglect in order for you to have focus. So the person will attend to the things that are neglected, that are equally important, but are not directly related to the objective. The person's area of calling is in those neglected areas. I remember we just visited my in-laws, and my father-in-law is a professor of geophysics. My mother-in-law is a doctor of education. And my mother-in-law cried out. He said, those days, my father-in-law will be saying, when she's saying she's trying to study and do, say, study what? Is it education that you are reading? That you are? If you have not understood METOKHAY, you will think that your geophysics can answer the matter. Meanwhile, my mother-in-law is an established administrator by the providence of creation and also by training. So when my father-in-law begins to study, he doesn't care whether this shoe is supposed to be out there. Oh, no. But the administrator comes and now sees that the whole place is in shambles and puts those things in order so that it will be more comfortable for the man trying to reach the height in his study. It's not directly related to it, but it's a support structure that is built to enable him reach that goal that he wants to reach. After some time, you will no longer despise that aspect of supply, which seems to be trivial, in comparison to the goal that you are trying to strike.
It is when you no longer despise that support system that you are beginning to understand what it means to function as a corporate entity. It means you are losing the strengths of your individuality and you are embracing the perspective of corporateness. Metokai, there's participation. Well, if you check two people, one must be good in something much more than the other. You and your wife, one will drive better than one. I've seen some men that their wives drive better than them. And they will fight about driving for a long time until one of them realizes, no, this person is a better driver. So he commits all issues of driving to that. So the man now, the wife likes driving too much. So he now decides to be the passenger. Allows her. And meanwhile, the kind of work he works, he cannot walk like that and drive home. So the driver that likes driving, metokai, there is participation in view of corporate partnership towards the achievement of an objective. Many of you have not yet seen which aspect of your life that a lady can come and provide metokai. And because in your singleness, you believe you are a jack of all trade and you can strike. That's why your productivity is going to be very low. You will not be very good, even in the areas of your strength. You will not be able to maximize it fully, except there's a support system that provides support services that takes care of the things that you have decided to avoid in order for you to gain the cutting edge of focus. Are you with me? Now, it's also possible that maybe you, the guy, you are a lecturer. Your wife too is a lecturer. Your wife is almost as intelligent as you are. And you are going in the same direction. Have you read in the Bible when scripture says that the sons of Issachar, there were men that what? That understood the times and knew what Israel ought to do. There are some times, there are some situations where God wants to raise a family of intellectuals as an example. So he merges people with the same kind of strength so that they can challenge themselves along that line. So that there will be a family just like Issachar. That was how they were. Sometimes God can bring two prayer warriors together because their part is heavily laden with battles. They have strength in that area. If you don't understand the context, you will not know the kind of participation that is required. And if you have not found what you can bring to the table, it means you are still existing as an individual. You know, we said last month. Hallelujah. We said last month that Abraham dwelt between Bethel and Ai. Bethel is the house of God. Ai is what? A pile of stones. It's the same thing. But this one is built up. The pile of stones is just a rubble. It has the potential to become a house. But each stone has maintained its individuality. Each stone doesn't want to be chiseled, because if we are going to build a house, there are some stones that will be chiseled. Every stone will lose its personal identity because it will be found in a corporate structure. Many of you are still unwilling to leave your old scent, the scent that you mastered as a single man. You are going to lose all of that for you to be forged into a building. You are going to lose those strengths and you will gain new strengths that you find along the path of participation. So that you'll be able to major. A man that doesn't know his purpose is not a good man to marry. A man that cannot let go cannot achieve anything. He will be so distracted by side attractions that he will lose sight of his objective. Are you still with me? Now, I work with the government, I do business, I have a wife, I have a family. Hallelujah. And I consult. I'm a consultant. As it has to do with church growth, I'm a consultant. You may not believe, but you see, it's only my people that will not respect me. There are places that if I sit down,
They say the fountain of wisdom speaks through me. But when I come back to my people, they say, I tell them that I consult. They say, this year, yeah, man. Wait till you consult. Well, I, whether you believe it or not, I'm a consultant. And I will not tell you to the extent to which I have consulted. And I'm consulting. Now, I'm doing all of these things. I'm a pastor, too, a preacher. I'm doing all of these things. And I'm excelling in all of them. But in order for me to excel in all of them, there are some matters I cannot attend to. If you bring that matter, I will not hear it. Because it is not my jurisdiction. It's for my wife to handle. I don't even want to know how she handles it. She can come and say, okay, we need this to do that. Thank you. Don't explain. It will bring high blood pressure. Because I want you to do your own part in the past. I trust that you can deliver. So that I can focus on. Are you with me? At the level that I'm operating, as much as I want to wash my clothes myself, it's not possible for me to wash all. So if I finish doing what I'm doing and come back and then I start washing clothes, my sight will go. And the person that God raises to provide the support services that will make me stay in my cutting edge so that I can be growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus. The person is not sacrificing less. Are you with me? Sacrificing just to make sure that the corporate purpose finds expression. Sometimes two of you are different. Sometimes two of you are the same in marriage. And when you are the same, it means God is raising a family, either of warriors. That's why two of you are very tough. When you find a tough woman, a tough man, they are actually supposed to be intercessors. People that don't give up easily. Stubborn people. They are for spiritual warfare. And when they come together, they will find an equilibrium in this participation that I'm talking about. So that they can raise a clan of warriors. I am performing better as a married person than as a single. Far better. Far better. And that is what participation is supposed to produce. I was in local jail yesterday. Somebody told me, he's doing this, he's doing that, I said, you will not achieve anything at old age. Because it doesn't allow for participation. Like in ministry, I've seen a pastor, he would tell the guy on the keyboard, play like this, the one on the bass, strike like that, the one on the drum. He will control the drum and say, one day, you'll be doing like that, you'll fall down. What you do, begin in your closet, pray for the drummers, pray for them, let Baba help them. That's your own ministry, let them grow. And provide the support services that is required to make you prosper. So he leaves his own section and then he's attending choir priorities. you understand what I'm saying? He has deviated. Because he's still trying to live like an individual when he controls everything. Many people don't make the transition from AI to better. Some people try and they stop in the middle. As long as you are a pile of stones, you still retain your individualism. But if you are part of a building, your individualism disappears and a structure emerges. And every house is built by some man. Now let's press further. Have you ever seen someone that is desperately in need? It's obvious that this person has need. And you are trying to provide help and the person is not accepting help. How many of you have seen that? That's a person that is in AI. He doesn't understand that the beauty of life is in participation. God did not make any of us complete. You see, the enemy of participation is what we call pride. Pride. A proud man doesn't feel that he needs help. These are the little foxes that destroy the vine of a relationship. Pride. You will need to work against pride, personal pride, in order for you to be able to participate effectively. Hallelujah.
I say, hallelujah.
A pastor walked up to me here and said, why is it that I'm the only one preaching? I should give him the mic and see what he can do with on the pulpit. I know you can do something on the mic. But this altar, God saw you before he said I should be the shepherd here. And we cannot negotiate that one in 25 minutes discussion that you are bringing now. It was done from where? However, that you feel that the only place where you can express yourself is this mic, it means that you have lost the place that God gave you here. You believe you will do better if you were on the mic. It means you are not for this house. Because there are 1,001 avenues for service in this our little clan. Alright? 1,001 avenues for service. And if you are sent to be part of this clan, you are part of the crew that is supposed to provide support services. You will be in that support ministry until the anointing and the humility in your life reaches its head. The leadership will know how to reassign you. That's how we grow in the kingdom. That's how we grow in a system that God has ordained. Let me stop there. I know you got that one. Hallelujah. So in order for us to participate very well, there must be purpose. A clearly defined purpose, an objective. Some people come into marriage without knowing the purpose of that particular marriage. The purpose of me and my wife coming together is that God expects us to model Christianity to young people at a close range so that they can adopt, they can understudy our life and our marriage and go and implement the same in their own context. Alright? Now, God has raised us to be coaches to younger people using the teaching aid of our lifestyle. And that's why I'm not capable of hiding things, because my lifestyle is supposed to be a teaching aid. Now, on the account of our corporate purpose, It was very clear to me even before we got married that people will stay with us. Because we are going to disciple some people at close range. If we graduate some, we adopt some others. And then those people now begin to have a mental picture of what it means to grow a family. And when they settle in any city that God wants them to settle, they'll be able to reproduce the template. That's our own purpose for coming together. Now, there is a unique purpose for each couple that comes together. You start having problems when you don't know that purpose. And when there's no commitment to achieving that purpose. Next month will be 10 years as a ministry. And for 10 years, we have had people come from outside of this town and stay in my house for 10 years. 10 years. By next month. Now, if the woman of the house is not aware of the purpose, something will happen that will hinder the purpose. The best days of our lives are days, those times when we have meetings and contacts and we play host to Christians from across the land. We have been doing that for 10 years. Irrespective of recession. We'll provide food, we'll provide shelter, we'll provide love to a lot of people. And there are many people that have come to stay with us when they saw the love that we provided. Jesus. That was when some of them now gained perspective of what kingdom life is all about. There were people that were healed of diverse bruises in their soul, just staying with us for 3 days. And then we saw that God was releasing a fountain through that little shelter to reach out to members of the body of Christ. Now, there must be a purpose if there's going to be agreement. Because we must have one purpose. Every relationship you enter into, you must define it. There's a pastor that came the other day and said, he will follow me till he dies. Oh my. So I had to test what he's saying. Because I was doing very well before I met him. It's him that is under pressure to be my friend. Meanwhile, I've not accepted him. But he has gone everywhere. See, that guy, I'm his friend. You know that guy. I'm his right-hand guy. You know. So I said, alright, okay. I've accepted. We'll be friends. But this is where I'm going. This side. Problems began to happen because I will not compromise where I'm going. You see, only one side you look. Before I met you, this was the road I'm going. And only people that are capable of passing this road can join this transport service. If somebody can come into your life and bend your focus, you are weak. No mortar can bend my focus. We'll start having problems just because you want to compromise my focus. Don't come to my house without sending me a text message, even if you are my neighbor. If you come, you are on your own. You don't know what I decided to do that morning. Maybe I decided to look into heaven. My purpose, I must accomplish it. You cannot be a hindrance to it. That's my limitation. It's my focus. Are you with me? Now, so if there's no purpose, there's likely to be no agreement. Oh my God, I've overshot the time. Jesus. There must be a purpose. Now, if you guys dwell in pride, you cannot pursue a purpose. You cannot pursue a purpose. If you don't submit yourself one unto another. Because there are many times, in keeping with these corporate purpose, you are going to veer off from alignment. You will do some things that are not even consistent with the purpose itself. So you should be able to acknowledge that, see, I went overboard here. I'm sorry for this. I wasn't supposed to do that. Then, because we are mortal, we are bound to make some mistakes. But a man of the spirit doesn't make big mistakes. Makes little mistakes. But when you find out that you have made a mistake, you should be able to come back and restitute the position of that mistake that you made. Agreement is the plumb line of relationship. Second word. First word is fellowship. Second word is communion. And this is koinonia. The most accurate Greek word for koinonia is intercos. Hallelujah. This is the part. Okay, let's jump this part. This is the part I was saying I needed boldness to teach. Boldness. Now, fellowship here is participation. Right? Participate. You cannot do all. Someone else will do a part. You will do a part. Right? So we participate in the fulfillment of a singular corporate objective. Then there is communion, which is koinonia, and it is actually intercourse. Intercourse is a higher level of agreement than participation. I will stop on number two so that we can proceed. You must understand that 60% of the attacks you are going to have in that relationship or home is because of agreement. As long as you are not agreeing, you can't work together. You can't fulfill anything that is corporate together. Now, in my small, little experience as a pastor, I need to tell you this, because I've had colleagues in ministry that have come to me. Sometimes the wives of my colleagues have come to me sometimes in counseling. They have said, I don't love this man. And any time we are sleeping together, I just submit my body for him. You cannot achieve In fact, one of the reasons why sex was ordained was it's a seal of agreement. It's supposed to be a seal of agreement. That's the height. It's a height of agreement among humans. So you are incapable. You see, if you don't have basic harmony, if you don't have basic harmony in your participation, the act of intercourse might be a slaughter to one of the parties. It might be abattoir. So every time, are you with me? Now, this is what was happening. The lady came back from work and she put off her high heel. You know, when you are using high heels. So she removed her high heel. She had been suspecting that her husband had been seeing another damsel in the compound. So she removed her heel. And she crept. She crept in. And then the husband was in a compromising orientation somewhere. May the Lord help us in the name of Jesus. He told us that to be human itself is a challenge. That was what Jacob told Pharaoh. When he asked him for a summary of his life, he said, my days have been few but full of sorrow. To be human alone is a challenge. And she crept in and beheld a man of God in a ayah. So she knew that the rumors were true. And from the day she knew that, it's clear that her husband has slept with that girl. She always feels very dirty. That is her feeling. Anytime the husband wants to sleep with him, with her, she does not resist. But she is not part of it. Meanwhile, if there is no baseline agreement, agreement in the area of intercourse cannot be achieved. And if there is a disconnect in intercourse, the act is killing one person. And maybe the other person is not even sensitive because it's full of self. Intercourse is supposed to be an act that is not selfish. Now, I can't teach you. You have to read yourself. I won't teach this one. Wait, but many of you have discovered itself. This matter. You see, marriage is a sentence that God has placed all of us to check against our commitment to self. Experience has revealed that, you know, when you are warming the engine of a caterpillar, it will take longer time than Vespa. Vespa. Those of you that have bikes, before you know it, the thing has charged. The engine has taken heat. But the caterpillar will take time. You see, in intercourse, there is a difference in time. Time of full bar. And if there is selflessness in it, that's when there can be compatibility. However, if there is no baseline participation and harmony, if you move the relationship higher into intercourse and koinonia, it will kill one. It will not achieve the purpose for which it was intended. And there are many, many people that are in marriage, but the act of marriage is actually a journey to the abattoir, to the slaughter. It is not something that they look forward to because there is no harmony. It can only be a blessing when there is harmony. And that's why if you steal sex, those of you that crept and you stole it, if you stole it, there was no harmony because you yourself knew that this was you were stealing. You were guilty. You stole in the dark. So to achieve the purpose for which it was established is excluded
from every illegal adventure into that experience. There's going to be challenge if there is no effective harmony and participation, and you now bring the issue of intercourse and communion. Let me stop there. I have some other points to raise. We have issues like, he said there is no a part. I don't have a part. The infidel, the believer has no part with the infidel. There are levels of crisis where in a home that I've seen, the wife called me and said, this is not the man I married. I don't know him. The intention is this. When you really walk in a covenant relationship, a part of you will go with it. I've seen people that were very intimate with their wives, and when sickness came and took their wife, the memory of that woman made that man not to be able to remarry. You know, it's easier for a man to remarry, but the memory of the relationship, the man felt no. There was no possibility of simulating the kind of thing that he had. So in order for him to save himself from every form of disappointment, let him live with the memory of the dead wife. That, you see, a part of him died. So issue, those are deep matters. We will continue from here. But we cannot have koinonia, effective koinonia, if we have not had what? Effective fellowship. Let me stop there. Before I stop, I need questions. Koinonia. So, as couples, as people that are dating, you should perfect koinonia. And that's the only part of the court you can tread when you are dating. And when you are dating, through the participation, I can tell if you will have a good marriage. I can tell if you will have a good marriage. And listen to me, if you make a mistake in anything, don't make a mistake in marriage. And don't even wish it for your enemies. Because if you are in a situation where there is no harmony, where there is no fellowship, where there is no concord, where there is no koinonia, where there is no agreement, it's like a sentence. When you put a man on the stake and you crucify him, when you have crucified the man is alive. You are not here. He's alive. Huh? But he would have wished to die. Every time the person uses his lungs, he draws death closer, but is yet alive. Every time the person drinks any liquid, maybe his own saliva, he just takes, he calls death closer, but yet is what? He's alive. That's what the devil wants to make out of every home, like crucifixion. And he does that by compromising agreement in all his forms and in all his layers. But if we can achieve agreement in all his forms and all his layers, then indeed you have found a threefold cord which cannot be easily broken. Please help me ask your neighbor, can two walk together except they be agreed? Now pass the microphone round, and if you have a question, three questions, and we will begin to pray. And the first thing we are going to be praying about is to address people that have had carnal knowledge of the opposite sex outside of marriage, and the possibilities of soul ties, especially if you are still seeing the person in your dream coming out from an aircraft. Malatobina Saila Kamela. In the night you dream about the person. It means that there's still a link. You need to renounce and repent on that ground. And when you are doing repentance, repentance is very intelligent, it's very conscious, it's very cognitive. And you need to bring to your remembrance some factors. And just in case you have forgotten, maybe it's so long you have forgotten. God knows you forgot. That's why you could not present it
intelligently. Just like the lawyers that go to court. The lawyers that go to court, they go there with very, 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 very systematic presentations. And that's what you do when you come for repentance. It's a systematic thing. It's supposed to cover the scope of the case that you're carrying before the judge of the whole earth. And so we're going to do a lot of that. This, and as we do it, you begin to see yokes will begin to break. By itself. Oh my God. See, there's nothing as sweet as being at liberty. You are free. You're at liberty. And when you are going into marriage, you know that you will not fail. Some people, a lady was going into marriage, she knew that the thing will fail, but she was singing him. She knew it inside that this thing not gonna last. But she was there singing, there shall be showers only. We lie. Showers when there's a challenge. Alright. Now so let's see what we have. Few questions. Yes, Emmanuel.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Now let me add this. This is not part of my script. If you are in a relationship and you have started touching the breast of the woman, the breast of the damsel, and maybe the damsel even likes breast touching, so she surrenders for, she comes all the way from Kwarafa just for breast massage and issues. Now you are already starting on the wrong foot. What you have done is that you have fast-tracked the soul tie. You are in bondage. When you want to read chemistry in the night, the lady has entered your heart. You are just there. You are just there. You are fast-tracked. You are under influence. Controlling spirits can begin to manipulate you from that point. You are fast-tracked. And I assure you, all these breasts we are looking for, breasts, you want to touch breasts and all of them, I assure you. And as you are touching it, you are losing your peace. The day you marry, when you touch your wife's womb, you won't lose your peace. Huh? But when you touch another one, you affect the alignment. Then you will now discover that, see, it's not the act of touching breasts that is the problem. You touch an illegal one that God has not allowed. And it is eroding your soul like erosion. Water that is not controlled, that is leaking up the topsoil. You don't know what damage you are doing to your soul. You are actually damaging your stickability. Have you ever seen sellotape? Somebody used sellotape and he feels sellotape. Then he removes it. Then he wants to sellotape another document. See, the stickability has been affected. That's what you are doing to yourself. The day you will see the right person to cleave to, you will not even have any affection to pour again. Because you have been with so many people and deceiving spirits have begun to whisper into you, manipulating your emotions. Anytime you see there is a soul tie, it means there is something wrong. And in such a situation, what you need to do is to give the lady a gap until you are dealt with the tie. What is driving into marriage is not emotion. And one thing about God is that His words and His compelling actions are never so much that it is irresistible. Anytime it is irresistible, it is the devil that is at work, compelling you to do something that will give him a ground to have legality in your life. Yes, your question.
Having gotten this background,
mm-hmm.
It's been established that marriage.
So what I'm saying is body contact, leave it. We don't have any instrument with which you can measure how much contact you can accommodate. There's no instrument. And you know those guys in Remedia, those people doing Remedia, they are also in school. Are you aware of that? Remedia is part of school. So the touch you are touching breast is part of a school. The touching of breast is supposed to lead to something. You don't come to do remedial if you don't have an intention to do degree. Hallelujah. It's only people that want to do degree that what apply for remedial. So those touching are remedial. It is with a view of ascending. And just in case you don't have any intention to ascend, don't buy remedial form. Don't buy the form. That form, that remedial form. Don't even say because you are a preacher, you have been preaching, casting out devils, then you now buy a remedial form somewhere. No man has enough skill to navigate in those waters. May the Lord help us in Jesus' name. This is my parable. I pray the parable will get home. Yes, Ima.
Marriage should have a purpose.
Yeah, it must have a purpose.
And then both parties will work towards...
Yes, you must know your corporate purpose in marriage. For some, it's a system of warriors. For others, it's a group of capacity builders. For others, it must have a purpose.
Okay. Now, you know what your marriage should be like. It's been... You know your purpose.
You know your purpose as an individual. Your purpose as an individual is different from purpose your corporate purpose in marriage. It's as much a call as your purpose is a call.
Okay. And change is this with me.
Alright.
I know my purpose, and most time when I see that this person, I can achieve
the person.
Yes. Most of the time, the response I get in my spirit is a no.
We have not even come in this lecture to a point of discerning who you can achieve your purpose with. We are just digging around. We have not reached there. So if you are taking us there, we have not established enough ground of wisdom as to the step-by-step principles to adopt, the things to do in order to realize who you can fulfill your purpose with. Is that where you are taking us? Or that's where you are taking us? Okay, you've seen me personally. We'll discuss that. The lecture has not reached that level. The lecture has not reached that level. But because you raise it, now there are several infrastructures that you have to build around your life in order for you to not to miss it in choice. First of all, you must be partnering with a brother in the kingdom of God, a brother in the kingdom of God that has stronger spiritual senses than you have. There must be that partnership and covenant. Right? And then, you know, the average believer doesn't have that anyway. That infrastructure is not built into their life. If that is the case with you, you are not likely to arrive where. So when you have built that, so we have not started that lecture yet. So you have that kind of relationship. Because you are the one that is emotional, you have the tendencies of being wrong. The things you claim that God has told you, 70% of it is likely to be wrong because emotions are part of it. That your brother that you are in covenant with that has stronger spiritual senses is not feeling what you are feeling. He's not feeling the emotion. And if it's true that person has been proven over time to be one that has the capacity to receive the word of the Lord, it is advisable to check, cross-check notes again and again. Now, so there's an initial confirmation that gives you the right to go into the relationship. And while you are still in the relationship, you are taking readings, you and that person. Just in case our initial persuasion was wrong, the readings we are taking from here, we either support that initial position or raise a disclaimer on that position. It's something that you do in partnership. You do it in partnership. It's a meticulous science in arriving at a destiny mate. A very meticulous science. It's not something that you allow emotions to override. Because if you allow emotions to override it, you will have a lifelong of deception. You will drink the water of deception all the days of your life. Hallelujah. And at best, In the environment of the grace of God, which is sufficient, you might have the capacity to fulfill 30% of your calling. You know, that seed that fell, the first one produced how many fold? 30-fold. When we get there, we'll bring all those factors down. Whether or not you can fulfill destiny is tied to the choice you made in this regard. I've seen anointed men that lack direction. Yes.
Hallelujah.
Second person.
I want to know in regards to the prostitutes that some of them sleep with men that don't know the name, they don't even know their location.
Yes. Do you accept that God knows everything?
Yes.
And we don't know everything.
Yes.
So if you sincerely don't know some of the names in the prayer practice we are going to do now, God knows you don't know those ones. So he will handle those ones. But the ones that you still remember, you present them like a lawyer, intelligently. And had dealings with. Even if you were raped. You don't just push away a sexual experience that you have and say, yeah, I ask for forgiveness about it. No. You did it consciously, deliberately. For somebody to have access to your intimate reality. It was not in the dream. You were not floating. And in order to undo any implication that may have, you have to also do something deliberate. Is that clear? Alright. So, God knows everything. Even though we don't know everything. And we forget a lot. Just like you now, the day they pierced your ear when you were a child to be able to take on earrings, you don't even remember how painful it was. It was exceptionally painful. But you don't remember. See, human nature is programmed in such a way that we forget easily. That's why you are encouraged to write things down. Yes. Mm-hmm. You can sit down, just turn the mic on.
Okay.
Feel free.
I have like two questions.
Two questions, all right.
The first one is you mentioned focus.
Focus, yes.
Yeah, that nothing should tamper with your focus.
That's it. But it makes you blind. You know, I'm seeing here, I have binocular vision. I can see this way, I can see this way, and I can see to my front. But I'm as blind as I can see. So participation now behoves of my helper to help me check the things that are behind me.
So my question now is, what if before marriage you have some maybe focus or some covenant practices with God
covenant
as an practice. Individual and then as you got married your wife is not as if she doesn't believe but not perfectly in tune
with those practices.
With those practices.
You will stop them until you have discipled her enough to be in agreement with them. You cannot go further than the agreement you have with your wife. If you do that, you will fail in your primary discipleship program, which is to disciple your wife. You will grow. Your wife will be a dwarf. And all the demons that will come to attack you will come through her. You don't even... Don't... My aunt told me, all the problems you will have in life will come because your wife is not mature. You have failed. If you take up, like, stop that thing. And then begin to ask God to open her eyes while you are trying in the physical. Say, is it this thing? That's what. Yeah. And then when you are doing it, she can even join you with understanding. You stop doing it.
Okay, thank you, sir. Then secondly, now,
every wise man, let me tell you the truth. Every wise man, when God tells you a strange thing, a wise man will normally ask God to go and reveal it to my wife first. I'm not saying I'm disobeying, no, but Almighty, go there. I finished your service and I came back home and there was a riot in Kano. And in the place of prayer, God now spoke to me and said, go back to Kano. It is youth service that finished, but my assignment has not finished. Meanwhile, in that my house there, my dad had died. I was still under the authority of my mother. I cannot just go because God spoke to me. If not, I'll be going without cover. So I now told God, go and tell my mother. Because when I told her, she said, people are leaving Kano. My own son wants to go. I said, no problem. I didn't raise the matter again. I just went to the place of prayer. And I kept praying. It took 22 days for her to be convinced. So I went with her blessing. And I came back a prophet. Because I went with her blessing. She knew that she released me. God, I don't know what God told her. But God convinced her about my trip. That is how two work together. They work together when there is internalization of conviction. Because we must have one mind, we must have one passion, and eventually we must have one soul. We like the same thing. We think alike. And so even if you put one in the prison, and then you are interviewing the other one, they will say the same thing. Not because they took time to rehearse it. They have become of one soul. Yes, go on. We are pressed for time.
Okay. And secondly, now when you mentioned as a man your focus, maybe you are beginning to see somebody outside.
Yeah.
Now, in the first place, does it mean you have shifted?
No, you have not shifted. One of the perils of mortality, being in this container that you are carrying, is that you'll be faced with something called lust. It's a peril. It's just like, we don't pray for sickness, but you take tablets because you fall sick sometimes. Huh? You also fall into lust sometimes. It's a reality. It's a peril. Are you with me? Now, there are two ways to go about it. If you have not yet become a close friend to your wife, don't tell her. If she's still a very infant person in the things of the spirit, don't tell her. Because she will use it against you and say, see you where they look something through window. People never wake up yet. You don't carry eye, go window, they lose something. Anything you will say, in fact, she will start singing one song. Window man! Window man! Will create is a body. And so she's not mature enough to be able to handle that. If she has not yet awoken to the fact that she's in partnership with you as an auditor to make sure that your books are correct. If she's not aware yet, she's still growing. But when she now grows a little, you can now make her your auditor. I saw something. You see something. And as you are saying it, the hold on your soul, it breaks. Sin is only strong when you hide it. Open it up. When Jesus resurrected from the dead, the way he showed his disciples that he was the one was that he showed them his wounds. Those wounds you are hiding are the things that will kill you. Don't hide it. Evangelist, call her in the night. Wake her by 2:00 and say, I touched something. She said, hey, you touched something. At the end of the day, she's going to respect you more. You think she would begin to believe to you, she will respect you more. That kind of person that wants to claim that I'm the living perfect master. I've never looked at a woman. He has died many times in his heart. And there are some terrains that you go through. If you have lost the basic commitment of sincerity, you will not come back the same. For 6 years in my life, I had to stay apart from my family. In Lagos. That was when... Those days, when you say water spirit, I look at you like this. I saw them. Yeah. You may doubt that they exist. No, I won't. We won't contend. It's not a matter for contention. All kinds of darkness. Then I saw that the fact that you are a disciplined man is not sufficient. Your discipline will bow. Your strong will bow. You will go and beg God. You will beg God for grace for everything. How many of you have ever fasted before? And in the midst of the dry fasting, you lusted more than you have ever lusted in your life. The thing came like a crown. You try to shake it off. Didn't go. In fact, every attempt to shake it deepened it in your soul. In such a case, don't go to God and beg. Beg. What is coming against your destiny is the same thing that cut off your ancestors. Hallelujah. That, you see, the more we talk about relationship, it's deep, oh, it's deep. It's not just a young guy with good belt, just moving around, he can speak English, he has his style. Wake up. Wake up. One more question, then we'll pray together.
Thank you, sir.
Now, where is my man on the strings? Just clicking something. Let me see clearly. That's Joshua gone. Joshua has left. Click. Oh, my people are there. Captain Fred, you have not escaped. Hallelujah. Please, so take this relationship matter seriously. Don't waste your time with too many ladies, so many guys. Mm-mm. If one asks you out, begin to attend to that one. If another one comes, while you're attending to that one, tell the person I'm on a project. Don't confuse yourself and say, four people have come. Where did they pass? you are in trouble. That manipulation coming from the altar, you are assisting it. God is not an author of confusion. He said, four have come. Four have come. Keep the remaining three out and focus in your prayers. Focus. Never bow to a man except there's a sign. And it shines like the sun. It shines. When you pray on it, it shines stronger than bow. In that bowing, you will rise. If you follow all the principles, you will never miss your way. Even if they say the land is cursed and there are giants in the land, they will become bread before you. Yes, man.
I had an experience 2 years ago. Sir. I went to Casinala.
You went to Casinala.
I was engaging a young lady.
Yeah.
While I ministered,
the gospel is a treacherous venture. While you give life, sometimes you die. If you have a husband that is a preacher, know that you are in trouble. You are in great trouble. There are places we go to preach. You will see a very wealthy woman. The first question she will ask, she gold. She's gold, gold, everywhere gold. She just got, I see you don't have a ring. It seems you are not married. I am married, and I'm not quarreling with my woman. Glory. It's not only in Nigeria, it's much more outside. A woman, because you told a woman that you are married, she begins to weep instantly. How did you marry before you came? By what means did you find this woman? Oh, you don't? Alright. You will have your own experience. Just no ring. When I saw you had no ring, I went. The reason why I don't have ring is because I can't keep one here. It normally gets lost. If you are asking whether I'm married, I'm 8 years old and I'm good. This is peri to preach. Yes, so while you were flowing the vibes, you began to touch some other things. Emotions began to come out of the hiding place like a dove. Is that the Yes, go on.
I was not traveling in that direction. But okay. Such experiences are thought to have. But this one is something that actually mystified me. I was engaging her. Somehow, convicting presence of God was strong. And she began to weep. And while she wept, she told me she had engaged several men in intercourse. Okay, I told her to give me a list of the people she had slept with. She brought the list. I led her to repentance. She denounced all of them, broke her relationship with them, and repented. I prayed for her. The power of God came down. She was delivered. I also gave her some scriptures. I asked her to meditate. I told her not to fast. because I didn't want her soul to be open at the time. I told her to engage in deep meditation and worship for a very long time. And I encouraged her to get involved in a church. The closest church then was Living Faith, so I had no choice. I told her to get engaged. But when I went back to Katsinala in 2 years' time, I discovered this young lady now visits men.
They were the ones visiting her before.
She visits them. So the first thing I would like to know is, what is the complete sequence in breaking the soul tie? Secondly, that left me in...
She did not have a coach. She was like a freelance survivalist. Most of them died. The archers don't spare them. She was a freelance survivalist. Life's business is real business. And if you mean business, you have a coach. Someone that you allow the liberty to audit your life. Especially when it's obvious that you have sustained an injury. When you hide your pains and hide your wounds in such times, you die gradually. And you have no strength against the wounds when they come. You gave her accurate counsel, but she was without a coach. Maybe you would have prayed more before you recommended a church for her. Because the reason why some people are in ministry is not because of the people. Some people. And if a stray lamb of such intense wounds comes into such a congregation, the possibility of survival is bleak. We will pray tonight. It's a night of repentance and alignment. When we have done that sufficiently, then we can look for 5 smooth stones and put it in our pouch, ready for destiny. Is that all?
You said something.
Okay.
In the demonic deception series. You see, when you willfully engage
in a sin,
what you do is that you open a corridor that demons can traffic at different seasons of your life.
Yeah.
Now, if someone has successfully broken a soul tie, and then, like you said, such a person does not have a coach, or maybe in a situation where she cannot
have a coach, you know what? Those demons will still come and suggest. You know now.
That's what you actually said. Okay. Now, my question is this. What if you go to a place for evangelical activity and unfortunately such possibilities or such...
Okay, you fell on
are
it.
Not, no. Coaches are not available.
Coaches are not available.
Would it be wise to engage in deliverance activity, bearing in mind Matthew 12, 43 and 44, like you have said? Because the latter end will be worse than the former. So is the counsel?
Normally, if you are going to a place where there is no church and you are going to run a crusade, you should normally have an intention to plant a church after that initiative. You should have that intention. Alright? You should have that intention. However, if there is no church in the community and you go there for a crusade, in a community that may not be too far from that community, there will be a church. And that person, if the person is serious with the decision that has been made, the person can trek to church. I think the situation in Nigeria is not that helpless. Where the radius that you need to travel in order to find a place, a spiritual family, is so unthinkable. Oh, there's a question online. Yeah, you can project it to the screen. Hallelujah. Oh, I didn't know that our brethren online are following this. For those of you online, don't touch what is not yours. The name of the Lord. When you say there's cold in Sweden, that's why I locked on to something. Sometimes affliction, the feeling of affliction is hot sometimes. Yes. Oh, this is the question. What is your conviction on a Christian marrying a divorcee who is also a Christian? Tell the person. Okay, the person is hearing me. Now, this, your question, is out of sync with the subject matter that has been treated. We are getting to this place, but we have not gotten there yet. So I cannot answer a question that is not related to my lecture. However, if we can talk one-on-one on WhatsApp, provide a number for you, and we use that number to communicate this night and only this night, then I can address your issue. But it's not up for congregational discussion yet, because I've not done the teaching to support the answer that I will give. And if I give an answer here without the teaching, the people I'm sitting, standing before, might contradict me. So that's my answer for now. That's the only question we have online. Okay, so we're going to pray together. The business of relationship, opening your emotions and allowing the river of your emotions to begin to flow in the direction of the opposite sex. It's a treacherous ground. It's a strange ground. It's a ground that you need to tread with the assistance of experienced people and with the guidance of the light that comes from the Word of God. Tonight, we are going to pray. This is not time to go. It's time to pray. And just in case you are here and you had carnal knowledge of a man before today, carnal knowledge of a woman before today, outside of the holy estate of marriage, you are going to present all such before God and repent individually concerning every act. And then we'll ask for the grace of God to descend upon your life. If that's the case, please find a corner. Find a corner and begin to speak to God. Begin to speak to God. There are many things that the devil can manipulate in the life of a believer when issues like this are not dealt with, and we don't bring the mercy of God to break the legality behind them. Oh Lord, we call upon your name tonight. It's a strong moment. It's a strong moment. We call upon your name as we seek your mercies by the new and the living way, the way that you have consecrated unto us by your blood. We make advances into your presence, seeking, Lord, to interface with the throne of grace where we find mercy. Seeking to interface with the throne of grace, and we raise issues before you, asking for your mercy, asking for your mercy, asking for your mercy, asking for your mercy. It's not a time to look around, it's a time to focus, a time to look to God. Yakopatemasi la manda la baburia, shebro kapada bada supre kapetos kandia, anto balakupa la esko minahamide. We ask for your mercy. We renounce this act. We renounce that act. We ask for forgiveness against this act. Release your mercy. Release your mercy on my life. I intend to serve you, spirit, soul, and body. And every action that will provide legality to the devil to plunder my destiny, I submit it to the blood of Jesus, that through the blood I might secure the mercy of God. Glory to your name. Accept our prayers and grant us mercy. And every time we lost it against the opposite sex and we were defiled in our heart, we ask for mercy. We present our vessels to you, that your flames of purification might sanctify us. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Are you in a relationship now? You know that it is of God, but yet it is a struggle. You know it's of God, it's a struggle. It means that relationship is under attack. You can begin to talk to God about it right now and ask Him for help and ask Him for wisdom. Ask Him for help. And maybe you're already in marriage and there's crisis. There's a vicious circle of crisis. A vicious circle of crisis that you cannot understand. You can call upon the name of the Lord right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Single, you are trusting God to find your life partner. This will be a good time to call upon the name of the Lord. And for those of us that are married, let us pray for our brethren and our friends that they will not miss their way. If you are in a relationship, begin to receive strength to walk in purity, to walk in purpose, to walk in fellowship. And there will be so much agreement. Purpose will be protected. Participation will be effective. My tobene seka baha. If the devil has touched your relationship, your marriage, you can begin to call upon the Lord and say, Lord, I ask for a miracle. I ask for a miracle. I ask for a miracle. I ask for a miracle.
Your case will be different. What will come out of your life will be different from what has been known in your family. Something else will break out. Your story will be a new story. Your story will be a new story. You will come up with the strength and the backing of God. Oh God! Sado Perez, Kipela, Obadia, Akamba Sete, Vesele Korea. Did they say that people never get married in your family? I came to pronounce, to prophesy, your case is different. Did they say that nobody can ever get married and find a happy home? I came to pronounce a prophecy. Your case will be different. Siamakaya Bokoros. Siamama Sata Mama. This year is your year. We'll call for the finances. We'll call for the support. In the name of Jesus, we'll call for the support. We ask for an open door.
In the name of Jesus, that for which
tonight. We call on your name, O God. The weaknesses of my ancestral line, the weaknesses of my father, of my grandfather, will not deter my marriage. I break the link by the blood of Jesus. A new generation begins with me. Hallelujah. Listen.
Don't hide the relationship. The moment it comes, the earlier it comes, and the moment it comes, be accountable to spiritual leadership. It is to protect you. Be accountable. Don't do hide and seek. No. If that's the person you are going to marry, you are going to be with that person for a long time. So don't hide it. Make it known. And begin with counsel. Because the journey leads you into deep things. And so for those of you that are here that you have a secret relationship, don't go without reporting yourself so that you can begin to receive counsel. In the name of Jesus. Can you put your right hand on your chest? Let's pray together. And I need to tell you that God wants to raise godly seed from among us. Godly seed. So that the course will end with the ancestors and a new generation will begin. We emerge from the earth. That the reign of righteousness might gain momentum. The order of truth and light might be strengthened by your life. Yes, they say, yes, your grandfather was an Ezen, no problem. He missed the priesthood that was on the family. The priesthood was a priesthood of light. He caught a glimpse of it, but interpreted it by darkness. And the heavens await a time where a true priest that will see by light and understand light will bring the influence of his priesthood among the clan, and a new generation will rise. Family is deep. It's God's idea to perpetuate his covenant in the earth. The Bible says, lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Now, from God's perspective, children have nothing to do with the parents. They are a heritage of the Lord. It's an instrumentality by which a long family tree of the righteous can be extended in the air, so that immortal things that have been received from heaven can travel along spiritual genealogies and families and remain in the earth as long as they are. And your family your own nuclear family is in that branch. That branch that will retain the powers and the graces that the Lord has deposited in the earth. God doesn't want your life to be by accident. And just in case you are in marriage and you are beginning to face the demons of marriage, the confusion that want to make you break agreement and break covenant, everything that wants you to sleep one side of the bed and then let your wife sleep one side, is against the covenant that you swore to uphold. If you are married here, go close to your wife. Go close. Where's your keeper? Now it is time. Lay hold, cleave. I am Tomina Sila Brante Kabela Kuba Nakina Kaba. Now make a commitment. Yes, make a commitment. Say, as long as it is in my power, when there are forces that want to separate us, me, I will be working against the forces. How many of you have swum in a river Niger, river Benue, and you see when the waves are coming, it takes effort to swim against the tide. Sometimes it's an attack, it's a wave. But we're not so ordained. Fight it and stand in faith, in the faith of the gospel, against sickness, against poverty, and against everything that is contrary to the will of God. For every house is built by some man. Maybe you didn't like the marriage of your parents so much. You can pray tonight and say, Lord, I come into covenant with you today concerning my own home that is yet to come. It will not have the ailments that of my father and my mother had. It will be an expression of a new genealogy, birthed and born by the Spirit of righteousness. Can you make that a prayer quickly as we round up tonight? Something new will come from you. Something new will come from you. Something new will come from you. The devil will not have the last laugh. Even walls that are broken will be rebuilt. Bridges that have been abandoned will yet be reconstructed. The wheel of the devil will not win the day. Out of your life, something new, something fresh will find expression. Glory to your name. Glory. 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 In Jesus' name. Now let me pray with you and pray for you. Lord, in the name of Jesus, as a generation of young men, young women, we come before you in prayers, seeking your grace, that you will forge something new out of every one of us, that no one will miss his way, in the name of Jesus. For those of us that are already married, Lord, we ask for grace and wisdom to model the pattern that you have ordained for each couple, in the name of Jesus. That we'll see marriage from a standpoint of covenant, of seriousness, of destiny, and of purpose, much more than of romance and of good times and laughter. Show us the depth of this matter, so that the romance will become an addition, the laughter will be an addition. All spices that will drive the corporate purpose for which you have established man and woman, husband and wife, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Now, before you go, cast the seed. Cast this. Hallelujah. And while you cast the seed, amen. Where's my mic? So we are going to continue the lecture every Monday after contact. You know,
We saw a question on the screen, an online question about divorce and remarriage. Those are issues we are going to tackle in this course. But that's some weeks away. That question will be captured in the lecture that is some weeks away. I don't pray for anyone to have a divorce. Divorce is not the will of God. It's just like the fall of man, where man declared independence against God in the Garden of Eden. And every time divorce takes place, it reminds God of the initial rebellion that took place in the life of Adam. And it's not the will of God. However, two cannot walk together except that they agreed. That law is a law that is fundamental. And sometimes marriage does not work. We are going to look at the intricacies. And the reason why we are looking at it is not to make you wise, so that you will contemplate looking at the rules and the regulations. And then you want to take advantage. No, that's not. But I will show you the position of Scripture about all those issues, because it is your right to know, because it is in the Word of God. And so we are going to present it to us so that possibly you'll be able to relate with people that have issues in these areas, and you'll be able to provide the accurate counsel of God. Amen. Now, somebody was trying to ask a question and we shut the person down because of time. The last question, where was it coming from? Was it? Now, so here we go. Online questions. Sorry, we'll just help. We'll take the online questions. One of the guys, even though their names have not been written here, how do you take care of an issue where one had been with different ladies and now you perceive that you are being hindered from moving forward, and the person had seen in a dream a lady angry with him, but you don't recognize? Okay, yeah, I think. Hallelujah. Now, a young man, one guy in this fellowship some time ago, alright, I noticed he was struggling so much, so I now called him. I said, come to my house. By 12 midnight, we will sleep. By 12 midnight, we'll wake up and begin night vigil. Let's investigate what is wrong with you. So, we now went home and rested and rose up, and then we began to pray. And by 2:30 p.m., God showed me a vision. And God showed me a vision that the young man's father had a relationship before he married the mother. And he did not terminate it. Do you understand? He did not terminate it very well. Then he now went and married somebody else. But he was leading her on, and then escaped and married another person. And then the woman cursed the man. Then I saw the curse like a red thing. And the curse flowed from the father. And the son is partaking of that curse now. And I told him the next day I should go straight to his father and verify this. And the father took him into the inner chambers of the room. He didn't say it outside, that this thing that you have brought is true. But he whispered, as if he has not told the mother that there was something like that. And I saw that curse was the reason why the man, who cannot keep a job, he was working with the bank, he was doing very well, come, he will move here, come, he will move there, come. And the same come was happening to the young man that I saw in fellowship. That's why I took him to them. Now, this man that wrote this text, this has the same challenge. A lady has cursed this man. Can you type my wife's number in the bar for this person to call us by 10 p.m. This one, we need to talk to the person. Hallelujah. And then we now went into a lot of legalities to bring that guy out of the cost that he was carrying, of which he knew nothing about. I have a lady I love and I want to marry, but we have had sex many times and we want out. What should we do? You have been flowing. I told Masila Keriama something. tell you what happens when you lay that foundation. And I advise you, if you are serious about somebody, don't sleep with the person. Hallelujah. Meanwhile, I'm not saying stop. I'm not saying don't marry the person, but I will tell you the consequences. The Bible says if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? According to the scriptures, we have various foundations. One of the foundations that you had is your conception. It's a foundation, it's a beginning. Another foundation you have is your birth, the circumstances around your birth. Another foundation you have is your name. I know you don't like this, my topic again. Don't like it. Your name. I can show you, this is based on my own personal study. I can show you all these things. I can show you some people that their challenge started with conception. You will see it in scripture. In seeing that my mother conceived me. I can show you others that their challenge started the day they were born. Their birth. I can show you some other people's challenge is tied to their names because they were called after some spirits as a memorial. Are you with me? Good. I can also show you that some people's challenge began the day they committed immorality. They were a glowing tower of grace. And the devil knew that the only way he could puncture that grace that they carried. Now, you see, the grace on our life is different too. Let me shock you. I know I have a friend, right? He has made many mistakes as a believer. And he came out of all of them by the mercy of God. Now, for every believer to think they have that kind of grace that that guy had and that kind of mercy is wrong. It's a lie. You, the first time you attempt something, you might be cut off and become crippled. Alright. Now, for people like us, there is no allowance of immorality in my own life. And I understood it early enough and I did not. Now, another foundation is marriage. The environment before marriage. And you see, those are, you know, DNA is like, it's prophetic. The prophetic writings of God about that which is to come in the life of an individual, a biological entity. So DNA is like prophetic writings. Now, you are actually, those that immorality you are doing before you get married, you say you want to test whether the lady is fertile. You make her pregnant first, then you now come for solemnization. You have actually set up a foundation. And the devil will be using that legality against you in many, many ways, many more ways than you think. So I'm not saying don't marry the person, but I'm just saying you have a lot of liability to deal with. And even if you fail to marry that one, you go and marry somebody else, you have a soul tie situation. And a possibility of the lady still cursing you because you let her on. Just so you can repent, clean yourself up, and begin to ask God for mercy concerning that foundation. Even if you come into the marriage, still stay on that until you hear God speak to you directly about that trespass. Then it is blotted out. The effect, the sin is forgiven the day you ask, but there's an effect, there's a legality that is created by that action. It's the legality that is even more terrible. So you have forgiveness, and then there's a consequence of the action that is a program that is set in motion when you violate the principles of God. Are you still with me? So you get confession, you get forgiveness, and then by the decree of God, it's either you will suffer a while, maybe it will be difficult for the woman to take in for the first 2 years. And all of that one is being brought to bear by demonic spirits that have taken advantage of the foundation. And then probably after 2 years, God says, okay, You can even just ask God for mercy. And maybe because of the allowance of grace that is on your own personal life, you say, consequence two, gone. So, that is how it is. But the other brother needs to call us. Write my wife's number on the bar. Let the person call by 10 o'clock in the night, and then we'll attend to the person's case. In the name of Jesus. Let's pray as we close. Please don't sleep with a lady you want to marry. Don't even sleep with any lady at all. Talk more of the one that what? And sisters, it seems you people are stronger than men when it comes to refusing to yield. It seems so. If the man is weak, you be strong. If the sister is weak, you, Oga, be strong. Just so that we can have a good foundation. And when crises and problems come in the future, we can trace it and say, okay, this was not available. This was not available. It will be easy to trace. But if there are many, many openings, even we ourselves will be confused.